Uncle Sam not only gets the loan, but a nice little premium to boot.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We'll get to the global perspective in just a moment. First, to the bond market, where the government, for the first time ever, is selling inflation-protected treasury bonds, TIPS as they're known, at a negative yield. In English, investors paid the government for the opportunity to lend it money. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports.
Imagine this. You lend me $100. Then you pay me $5.50 for the privilege of lending to me. That's basically what's happening with a special inflation-protected bond the government is selling. Yesterday, it had a negative rate of return. Investors paid $105.50 for every $100 of these bonds the government sold. It sounds crazy, but it could pay off for investors. These bonds are worth more if inflation rises. The Federal Reserve has hinted that it's going to pump even more money into the financial system. That would push down the value of the dollar. It would take more dollars to buy stuff, and that would probably increase the inflation rate. Economists had been worried about deflation, that is, where the economy is stagnant. No one will buy anything because they think prices will just keep falling. Now the tables may have turned toward inflation. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are down under 1% at the moment. Investors are worried about earnings reports from some European companies that showed profits up, but doubts about the future. Asian markets lost value as well. Wall Street yesterday, stocks had some modest gains, under 0.5% for the S&P and NASDAQ. The Dow added 31 points, about 0.25%, to end the day at 11,164.
Yeah, I mean, it was seen as Obama's Katrina moment, and
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 800-555-TREE. By Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. And by Ally Bank, committed to customer service. At AllyBank.com, visitors can chat online with a customer care associate 24/7.
Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects the U.S. It's the same story, but a different salesman over at British oil giant BP. Newly crowned CEO Bob Dudley told British business leaders in London that the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico was exaggerated out of proportion by the media, something his predecessor claimed as well. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest on this company line. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So Dudley is blaming the media for the company's battered reputation?
Not just the media. He also blames rival oil companies like Shell, which criticized the design of BP's well in the Gulf. But Dudley does complain that the media carried lurid projections of how far the oil slick would travel. And there are some analysts here who agree that BP got, to some extent, an unfair press. Jason Kenney, an oil analyst with ING Bank, says it was certainly bad luck for the company that the spill coincided with a slump in President Obama's poll ratings and therefore acquired a major political dimension.
Yeah, I mean, it was seen as Obama's Katrina moment. And I don't think Obama helped with comments like boot on the neck of BP and the aggressive tones that he took at that time.
But the political dimension remains. Congressman Ed Markey said Dudley's speech showed that BP was still blaming everyone but itself.
Does this mean, Stephen, BP is pulling back from U.S. investments?
No. The company has just sold 4 oil fields in the Gulf, but it's believed it would have done this anyway, even without the spill. In his speech, Dudley said BP is part of the American community. He said we'll never quit the U.S.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting for us from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Oil is the topic of today's Marketplace Globalist Quiz, something we do every so often to test our knowledge of current events and public affairs. We're glad to bring in Stefan Richter from theglobalist.com. Good morning, Stefan.
Good morning. I take it you're ready.
I am ready. Give it to me.
All right. So what percentage of global oil reserves is located in the United States?
Ooh.
Is it 20%, around 10%, around 8%, or just 2%?
We have Alaska, so I think that helps
Sarah
the situation.
No more.
Yeah, I think that helps the situation. So maybe it's not 2%. Maybe it's maybe 8 or 10%. I'm gonna guess 8%.
8% is a good guess. It has nothing to do with the existing level of U.S. oil reserves, though. But, you know, we're still a big oil producer. That's forgotten. We're the third largest in the world, and we do provide 8.5% of the world's oil. And our domestic oil accounts for almost 40% of U.S. daily consumption. Mm-hmm. But alas, it's not Alaska. It's not 8%.
What about, all right, so I'll say the next answer that I had, 10%.
10% is what the Europeans and Eurasia have. But and by the way, China consumes 10% of oil. So, you know, that's the U.S. 20%. So I'll rule out the 20% answer for you right here and now.
You just get, let's see, the process of elimination here would mean 2%.
2%. And that is, of course, quite scary if you look at all of our environmental policies that and all the drill, baby, drill kind of things. We can drill to, you know, any road to heaven or hell or anything in between. And we just have very few reserves. So that would speak for having smarter energy policies so that we don't depend as a giant who consumes 20% of the world's oil by just having 2% of its reserves. That's a quite terrible mismatch for our longer-term future.
Stefan Richter, we thank you for your time this morning and for the education.
All righty.
And finally, Italian unions are fuming over comments made by Fiat CEO Sergio Marchionne. The auto exec recently said Italian labor inefficiency means the company could do much better if it were not in Italy. None of the company's profits, he said, would come from the country this year. Unions and government officials say Fiat's forgetting something, that Italian taxpayers helped the company along with a little something through the economic downturn. And they're a little disappointed by the comments. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The future of the job market can be tough to predict, but the experts do agree on one thing: the skills the next generation is going to need to be successful.
This is becoming a borderless global workplace. Children born today will spend part of their lives abroad if they are successful professionals in the same way their parents moved to different states.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the job market of tomorrow, next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.